the journey. The number 40 bus from Truro to Redruth via St Day grinds a gear, pulls into traffic and away. A jackdaw departs the railway station's ridge, making its crow fly way relatively from post-modernity's modal interchange to a redundant chimney pot, which, since fires ceased to smoke its early spring nest, has served the nodding, prancing scavenger as home. Thank the jackdaw god for small environmental mercies, the black monocoque bird muses, whilst beating wings on stale air and spying rings he wishes to wear, flaunting unbelievably on fingers of widows and brides, as under a Malabar privately owned former council house, a guitar-toting lover woos the fiancé of his dreams. Number 40's driver takes his bus into the tight left-hand roundabout, carving his space in the flow, pushing between a third-hand poor man's Volvo and a BMW belonging to an anonymous CEO, speeding out of Liscurnow with a planning consent in his bag. His passengers brace against the centrifugal force majeure of gravity. Crepe soles seek purchase in tungsten sparkling linoleum. Rheumatic claws reach for chromium. Lower spines push into unforgiving seats. Untended bags dance seven veils in mimicry of Apollo astronauts in weightless stratospheric training. The lights are against us. Sensing that I am taking the bus in substitution for suspension of rail services, whilst alchemists and orange-clad wizardy transform tried and tested semaphore to smart but yet not known quantities of digital signalling, oh, lead, depart my already swirling head and pour from crucible to mould and make this round-the-houses journey an expedition of pure gold. Oh, may the train run smoothly again and again. We lurch forward and immediately halt. Millie's spirit on the pelly. Bleep, bleep, exhorts the green spriggan. Upstairs, in their single-bed, twin-floor urban alternative to the old golden manor under gorse on Hal Bullock Moor, Mrs. S. rests unlit palms on her belly and allows the press of dutiful blood to recede from scarlet cheeks and brow. Another roundabout or two, stomach beginning to issue mayday signals of churning distress, and we take a turn past Trelawney Wing and derelict Uther Pendragon's retinal diabetical unit, and out again, round a circular mound of sponsored traffic and traffic control, and on, a cavalry charge into the dull-eyed artillery of Polstein Road. A last-minute request stop, then, hey, it's only a straight commuter mile to the calming commode of on-street parking, performing as calming, and vegetarian evangelists smuggling beefsteak mediums in greaseproof bags out of Chasewater Bakery with its bows of Jane Austen windows, its wholemeal load of cholesterol and carbon. Such a relief to sink one's dal and brown rice teeth into a lump of onion and beef. Up Pothole Hill, into the wild lands behind the frowning exterior fields and budding high street hedges of May, and into the sanctuary, an off-blown roof response to missioner by mining methody to ease the ambition of St. Day, dear of her, as they to say down Redruth, cast in a patronising eye towards that old clock, and running along the protected path down to Kennel, Ponsonooth, Cassaws, and Perrin-a-Werthel to get away. Up Redruth 4 Street, the hour chimes, and past exchanges glances with future, and all is quiet up Trewergy, and in the arms of St. Uni, under the episcopal shroud of winter limes and raging oaks, sparrows dance on tight-fisted camellia buds. number 40, winds round and round, picking up here, putting down there, pausing for breath in the square, dropping Mr. and Mrs. Hairdo under chiffon scarf just outside Carlene's 5-bar gate. Heads down, sleep resisting its invitation, blood reluctant to move around, tidal swells ringing bells in electrolyte peals under my hair. I've dropped the St. Agnes Museum Journal 2017 into the front backpack pocket. The cash book of Tywin Hale Farm must remain forever unanalysed. What a mess we've made of windows, terraces whose uniformity held the architectural essence of beauty, betray the assaults of every double-glazing cowboy installing his-her pronouns random, variation of UPVC fenestration, of levers, sashes, transformers, leaded diamond pastiche and blindly staring reflective layers of gormless glass. The individual has stamped his aesthetic along the social media satellite sky dish streets of St. Day and Carharrock and put out the eyes of every house. We turn sickeningly right, changing down to assume the position and grind our Bedford duple way up Telegraph Hill. By this time, I cannot hide away from the inner admission that I am feeling gravely, if not mortally, ill. I slump, head dipped into my chest. My mind is thinking pain. And February is adding an intellect of rain, embossing the mud-streaked pane of hedgerows, ruts, holes, and slowings for left-right foot down engine gunning off again. What heroes of industrial revolution set forth to excavate and blast the world from this arterial lane? I've lost track of where we are. And then, blessed Cardrew. Turning up out of Mount Ambrose and into Sandy Lane, and down, down into the crimson and grey overweight arms of Redruth, past Pedendray Stack and Berryman's girl paring her cuticles, and Hendra holding revival back whilst surveyors condemn and shut 1826's chapel, and echoes of Wesley hang in ecumenical repose over flowerpots, her sanctuary a short-stay car park, her ashes in an urn of pay and display. I never knew how my foot found the sanctity of ground by Redruth Station, nor how I came to this chair at the junction of Falmouth and Portreath, where West and East End cross roads, nor how the potion of water and undried Indian leaves revived and re-delivered me into the stream of every day. And as I waited to cross beside the plot of incinerated Haman, that number 40 bus passed me by, its driver waving and chanting and changing gear like transport for Cornwall shaman in drag. Up 4th Street, the town clock struck noon. "Never mind, dear," said St. Uni from underneath her trees. "You'll feel better soon. And then you'll be here, lying in the red clay of Trewergy, to take what may appear to be, if you please, your eternal ease."